Okay. So we have a guy back in the studio that coordinates all the commercials. You can go ahead and let it roll, Mike. Turn it up. And when I'm in the studio and nobody can see me, this is where I'm playing the air guitar. This is the only song I know.
Ooh. That's the only line you know.
That's the only line I know. Down the road I go. Good morning from Rosie on the House. So we are down the road from our normal broadcast location this morning in Casa Grande, Arizona, broadcasting from the Ocotillo Room of the Francisco Grande Resort. And we're here with friends from all over the state, both our Rosie certified partners as well as homeowners that we invited to the situation. And right now I've invited special friend and Rosie certified partner from Prescott, Arizona, Mr. Tom Riley, to join us for just a few minutes before he has to get back on the road and head home. And I wanted to kind of address for a few minutes what our 10 o'clock topic is, and so you and I can kind of compare notes here for our listening audience. Our topic is our blog that we've posted yesterday or Thursday afternoon about risky remodels. And you get the call, and you go out and visit with the homeowner who's trying to contemplate something, and it's kind of like, okay, how do I tell them this is a really bad idea?
That's like telling people that babies are ugly.
Have you ever done that?
No, I don't. I don't do that at all.
So I thought with our writer, I would just write an article about the 10 most riskiest bad idea remodeling questions. And I could bring this out to him and I'd say, well, you know, we can do anything, but maybe you ought to read this article that someone I know wrote.
Well, I usually ask them why they want to do something.
Okay.
And once we understand why they want to do it, then perhaps you can help direct them into a safer place.
Well, I don't know if it's exactly the same above the rim as it is below the rim. You're the expert for the northern and central basin of Arizona. But I tell people it's never a mistake to add a bathroom, ever. You can always add a bathroom. I tell people think twice before you remove every bathtub in your house.
That's a good suggestion. Try to keep one someplace. It doesn't have to be in the master suite, but leaving one bathtub in the house is smart.
The biggest mistake I'm seeing right now, and Jennifer and I were talking a little bit about it in the last segment, about the aging in place. The number one request we're getting at Rosie on the House Remodeling is, Rosie, I want you to come look at the house, and I want you to assess for me, what do we have to do to get Mom or Dad here back on this property? Is it going to be convert some of the internal space to another mini suite? Do we need to take the third bay of the three-car garage and convert it into a little sitting room that has access to a bathroom that we're going to put beside the laundry room that accesses the kitchen for Mom? We're actually, you know, working on one of those right now. Or do we do a separate standalone casita in the backyard? And one of the things that people think about, the empty nester, you can all picture it. It's that 1,800 to 2,200 square foot home. You walk in the front door, the living room's on the right, straight through to the kitchen, the family room, out to the back patio and down the left hall. Two bedrooms that share one bathroom. At the end of the hall is the master bathroom and bedroom. And they will take those two bedrooms and convert it into a master suite with its own bathroom. And I haven't seen that work out long term very well, because you're ending up putting two master suites down the same hall with no amount of privacy separation at all. And I've seen a lot of those homes go up for sale like 8 months later.
Yeah, and then 8 months after that, they're still for sale.
Yeah, right. That's why it's a risky remodel. Exactly.
Yeah, that would be a risky remodel. If you're going to be adding a second suite, you need to try to do it in such a way that it's separate. It's on the other side of the house, away from each other. That would be the ideal way of going about doing it. And we've done that with multi-generational housing in the Prescott area, too, where, you know, kids are moving back in with their parents and they have their own family. They share a house, but they still want a certain amount of autonomy.
Yep.
You know, and so you design the house in such a way that there is autonomy. They have places to go that they can be private and be family. And then there's places that they can go where they share a common place, usually like kitchen, great room, that kind of thing.
And I never have the guts to say it, but whenever anybody wants to be hanging wallpaper, I tell my designer to tell them that's a bad idea.
We don't say that. I mean, we just it depends on the wallpaper, of course, but well, we do quite a bit of wallpaper, actually, up in the Prescott area.
Interesting. Well, I tell people, look, if you're going to do wallpaper, at least let me size the walls properly so that whoever ends up in the home next can remove it without causing damage to the sheetrock.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So a properly sized wall allows you to apply the paste, apply the wallpaper, and you're done. And then properly sized, it makes the steaming of the wallpaper off fairly simple.
It is. And in our area, too, we tend to have what we call a skip trowel, a knockdown, or orange peel finish on the drywall.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to skim over that with a finish coat and then size that appropriately so that you have to put a new surface on there. You really don't want that modeling or the coming through the wallpaper.
Unless it's the heavily flocked aluminum wallpaper.
Or the gold leaf.
Are they gold leaf?
I did see wallpaper's kind of coming back, but do you see it mostly in the historic homes, or is it just people just like it again?
No, people just like it again. It's a nice way to accent. You've probably seen a lot of one of the trends is there's be several different colors on the walls in a particular room. There'll be a highlight or an accent color. Well, instead of doing color right now, some folks are opting to do, you know, bold designs with wallpaper on that accent wall.
My opinion of wallpaper is it's just too personal. It's really tough to get a generic enough. I mean, you can go to a paint fan palette and pick any one of 47 different tones of white, right?
Correct.
Right? And people can decide to live with that or not. Well, that's like two tones off of the cottage white. I really wanted coffee, you know, or Navajo white or whatever. And but the wallpaper pattern is so specific to something that rings true in your heart and your head that the next person sees it and says, okay, wallpaper's coming down.
Well, one of the things that we tell people is that you bring up a good point. If somebody wants to come in, they want to do something in the house that they're going to be in. If their goal is to flip that house within a year or two, then you try to do something generic.
Yeah.
If your goal is to live in that house for a long period of time, then do what you want to do. You're going to be the one that's going to have to look at it. And don't try to design your kitchen or your bathroom for what the next person may or may not want.
And it's not for kids.
What?
Wallpaper.
Oh.
What?
You need something you can paint over. Walls need to be painted and very easily painted over. Very hard to fix and patch markings and holes and cuts.
Artwork.
And
crayons.
Yeah, yeah. Not for kids,
just
in my opinion.
Put a whiteboard about wainscot height, you know, and markers on the floor and let them have at it.
One of the other risky remodels we'll be talking about more in the 10 o'clock hour is converting that garage to anything other than a garage. You know, we've seen guys actually turn them into man caves during football season, you know, during October, and the team looks like it's going to make the playoffs, and he's converting the garage into a game room, broadcast, several big screen TVs, some big couches. You can roll up the garage door, invite the neighborhood in. And then about May or June of the next year, the wife is asking, and now, why can't I park my car back in the garage? Seems like a good idea in October, but boy, come about June, July, it's not such a good idea.
No, if you're going to try to do something like that, then, you know, take your patio furniture, move it into the garage, live with it there for a few months during the football season, and then when football season is over, take it back out, put it back out on the patio, and let your wife park the car in there.
And how about over-improving for your neighborhood? What's your take on that?
Well, I go back to if your goal is to live in the house for a couple of years and then sell it, then that's an issue. If your goal is to be in that house and this is the house I'm going to be in for the next 20, 25 years, then you do what you want to do because you want to do it, not waiting or not trying to second guess what the other person might want. And if you're going to be in your house for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, you know, which Ouija board are you using to determine what, you know, real estate values are going to be that far down the road? So it depends on what your goals are again.
It's a mindset, no matter if you're going to live there for a year or if you're planning on living there 20, 30, the rest of your life. If you keep on top of your home and live in the mindset, this has to go on the market tomorrow, So everything's current because you let things go 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 years. You may turn around and realize you can't do anything.
Yeah, that's true.
the amount that it would take just to get this back up into selling condition isn't even worth it. And now you're really stuck.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Home maintenance.
What are y'all seeing in Prescott right now? Y'all as crazy as we are down in Maricopa County?
Hair's on fire.
Man.
And it's a good thing, too. I mean, there are a lot of people that are trying to do a lot of stuff, and they're trying to do some nice things. And we enjoy being able to help them do that.
I've been trying to spread the message here for the last year, really, that, look, folks, it's getting busy, and by all indications, things are only going to be getting busier. If you call and you're soliciting quotes or interviewing contractors to do a particular project, and they're available immediately, proceed with caution. There's a reason they're available. I mean, every great contractor I know not only is backed up several weeks, but is literally trying to find qualified labor every place they can look.
That is absolutely true. And as far as being available immediately, we'll show up, you know, to talk to you about your project right away. But the process usually takes a good 2 months to 2.5 months before you can start construction, just from the permitting and the design.
Yeah. And then finding the next crew to start that next project. I mean, we're finishing projects, you know, and when you look at your calendar, you say, I don't have a superintendent that can start another job until mid-October.
That is a big issue with us. So if anybody in your listening audience out there, you know, is looking to move to Prescott and have a night, you know, lives in the Prescott area and has good construction experience and is good personable, then
Tom Riley's the first call you should make.
That's exactly right.
Let me get my pen. What's your number?
No, you can't go.
928. I know that part.
445-8506.
8506. Very good. Thank you.
Well, Tom, any other particular risky remodels y'all are seeing up in your neighborhood, your neck of the woods?
I think you've just about covered it. Now, you know, the other thing that we do is we have people that'll design their kitchen so that it incorporates the dining area, and that sometimes is a mistake, you know. But for the most part, you know, it's not so much dining in your kitchen; it's not having a dining room table, the ability to put one in. And they expand their kitchen so large, they have this big island that they put in there, and they no longer have a dining room. And sometimes that can be a little bit of a problem.
Okay.
But other than that, good remodels are never risky.
If they can dream it, you can build it. I love the line you have for your company.
Oh, what's that? Fall in love with your house all over again, or your dream home is right under your feet.
That's the one I was thinking, but they're both very good lines. I've very often been wanting to steal both of them.
Well, I've stole yours a couple of times, too.
Tom, we appreciate it. Thanks a million.